Well, happy Father's Day. Amen. Happy Father's Day. I wanted to share something with you. A couple of preachers that I know, some I do know personally, others I don't know personally, but they always share some. I thought this was a good thing to share today, so I'm just going to read it to you. It says, a man was walking along a California beach, and he was deep in prayer. All of a sudden, he said out loud, Lord, grant me one wish. Suddenly, the sky clouded above his head, and in a booming voice, the Lord said, because you have tried to be faithful to me in all your ways, I will grant you one wish. The man said, Father, build a bridge to Hawaii so that I can drive over anytime I want to. The Lord said, your request is very materialistic. Think of the logistics of that kind of undertaking, the supports required to reach the bottom of the Pacific, the concrete and steel it would take. I could do it, but it's hard for me to justify your desire for this worldly thing. Take a little more time and think of another wish, a wish you think would honor and glorify me. The man thought about it for a long time. Finally, he said, Lord, I wish that I could understand women. I want to know how they feel inside, what they're thinking when they give me the silent treatment, why they cry, and what they mean when they say nothing, and how I can make a woman, my wife, truly happy. After a few minutes, God said, do you want 2 or 4 lanes on that bridge? All right. So, Shannon wasn't even in the room when I told that joke. All right. She probably heard it. Anyway, it was Mike Mitchell, Shannon. You could blame Mike Mitchell. I'm throwing him underneath the bus. So anyway, I just wanted just to share that. You know, today's message is entitled, I'm by your side. The Lord gave me that phrase many weeks ago for this message. And it goes along with a little the gift that we have for the fathers today. And but I'm by your side. And this is something that many times in our lives we forget. We forget that he's by our side. And therefore, we worry, we fret, we become anxious. The Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing. There are times that we are afraid, fearful of the unknown, and we forget that he's by our side. I don't see him. Where is he at? He's not there. I would say he's not there physically. Really, he is. My physical eyes just can't see him. But he's here. He's here with me every day of my life. Okay, so I have this tool belt. Tim the Toolman Taylor would put his belt on backwards, one carpenter said. Another carpenter said, you put it on however you want to, as long as it's around your waist, not somebody else's. But I'm wearing this because the point of a tool belt is that whatever job I have to do, whatever task I'm doing, whatever's in these pouches, I need to have them on hand by my side. Now, if I'm going to be doing some carpentry work, now, of course, you need a hammer. If you're going to do some carpentry work and your hammer's in your toolbox in the shed around the back of the house and you're in front of the house, then you know what? You're going to have to go back and get some things. And kind of like me sometimes when I'm doing some, honeydews at home and I'm watching my YouTube video, making sure I'm doing it right. And I end up having to go, especially if it's plumbing, I end up having to go to Ace Hardware quite a few times because, I'm just... I wouldn't say I'm a handyman or a fix-it guy. I would probably say I'm the apprentice. And so that's just, my skill at the moment. But inside our tool belts, we have what we need by our side in each pouch and each pocket while we're working, while we're doing any repairs. And so I might need, for instance, if I'm doing something electrical, I'm going to need some wire strippers. I'm going to need some wire nuts and some probably a cell phone close by, 911, just in case I don't turn the power on. Like I said, if I'm going to do some carpentry work, do some sheetrock work, I found out sheetrock work is very, you got to be skillful. I tried to do it, and after a while, I was like, no, I'm Shannon, I'm sorry, but we're calling some experts on this, and so... this is when we were adding on to the house. And so there's just certain things that you have in your pockets. You have a speed square if you're doing some carpentry work, and if hopefully you have a pencil handy. I wasn't going to put one in my ear, but you have a speed square, a pencil, some nails, a hammer. That's when you're doing something, a carpentry work. And see, God's word, God's spirit, God's power is what we need, is all that we need for anything else that we experience or go through in our life. In the issues of life, I need God's spirit. In the issues of life, I need his word. I need his instructions. Some of you, you've been around the block. You've done it many times. You could do it with your eyes closed. You don't need to read the instruction manual. Dads, fathers, you agree? You don't need to read the instruction manual. You've done it so many times. One thing that I don't like doing, and I found out because after I think the third or fourth bifold door, who came up with the instructions of a bifold door that the little small pieces of hardware in this cardboard bottom part, I found out that only the bottom part, about 2-3 inches of the bifold door is actually, there's some kind of a MDF wood. Everything else is hollow. I've gone through 2 or 3 bifold doors because, well, I didn't read the instructions and I put the hardware in, and then trying to pry it out, you mess up the whole bottom piece. You got to go ahead and buy a whole new bifold door. See, I've learned things through experience the hard way, but it was in those moments that I did not open up those instructions and read it. You see, this is why God's word is vital and important. And this message is not just for fathers. It applies to every believer in Christ. That we need God's instructions for whatever issues that we may face in our life. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Proverbs 4, 4 through 7. The New Living Translation, it says, "My father taught me, take my words to heart, follow my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, develop good judgment." If you have your Bibles, the handheld ones, not in your phone, but underline develop. Develop, this is good, I'm going to get to in a little bit. Develop good judgment. "Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you." Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. God's commands, his word gives us life. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray, Father, that we just don't hear what you're just saying, but Father, that we begin to apply what you're saying to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The word develop. You see, if I'm going to develop any skill with any of these tools, I'm going to not just have to keep it in my tool belt. See, I'm just being honest with you, okay? I haven't worn this tool belt like it shows. I need to take some out, okay? But I haven't put this tool belt on for a while. But notice, if you have this tool belt on every day, but you never take out any of the tools. You never take them out. So you don't really know how to use a speed square. You don't really know how to use wire strippers. You end up using them like pliers. Well, you could probably use it like pliers, but that's not what it's made for. I've used my flathead screwdriver for many things, but not for screws. You know, if you got to pry something up, paint can, it's really good if you don't have the little, you know, if they rip you off or jip you off, they don't give you one of those free paint little can openers. You got to pull out your Phillips head or your flathead, and then your Phillips head. I'm not sure what you would use this for. Maybe clean your ears. But, some people will use this for many other things. But if I just keep it in here and I don't use it, I don't gain any skill. I don't develop good judgment if I don't use these. So we can have God's word on our dashboard, gentlemen. We can have God's word, the Bible, on our bookshelf in our office, facing so that when we take a picture and books are behind us, we look like we're very knowledgeable, and one of those books is a Bible. But when you don't apply it, you don't use it, you don't develop good judgment. You don't develop good understanding and sound wisdom, doesn't come because you just have it in your hand, because you carry, if you carry your Bible to church, but you don't read it Monday to Saturday, what development is happening in your life? So I encourage and challenge you. My first point, God is by your side to give you wisdom. He is by your side to give you wisdom. Look, I know that I am not a rocket scientist. Okay, I don't believe that I'll ever will be one. But I know that God will give me the wisdom that I need if I'm asking him and if I'm applying his word to my life and I'm trying and I'm seeking more wisdom from him. He'll give me the wisdom. Developing good judgment comes from applying God's word to our everyday life. Wouldn't it be better if we had a utility belt for every spiritual and physical attack from the enemy, from our flesh, from sin? You see, as men, we have to deal with so many fronts, so many attacks, physical, mental. But the source of all of them, let me just share with you, I believe it's more spiritual than you think. The enemy is like a roaring lion. He wants to sift you out. He wants to ruin your marriage. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy the life that you are living, whether you're a father or whether you're not. He wants to destroy your life. Now, for the most part, us men, for most men, we are visual. We're visual. We see things. It's why it's really difficult for those of you that would like to admit it, but while you're driving and there's some woman running, or cutting grass and trying to get a suntan at the same time, and you're driving and you're doing whatever it takes to keep your eyes straight. Now you might look at your wife, but hey, how you doing? Just to do away with that twitch to look, and at that moment you are not a great driver. See, great drivers do this: they look at the side of your mirror, they look at the rear view mirror, they look at the other side of your mirror while they're driving. They're always constantly looking and seeing if there's anything going on. And you're just watching, you're just being. I tell my kids to just look at your side of your mirror, look at the rear view mirror, look at the other side of your mirror while you're driving. Just take a split second and look. Look, but when you're driving down the street and there's someone of the opposite sex that's walking, running, and you're just trying to do your best to just keep your eyes straight. We're visual. For the most part, most men are visual. Now, for the most part, most men are not really emotional. There might be some, a few, but for the most part, God has wired women to be the more emotional one. That's why you have books that are called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, right? Men are waffles, women are spaghetti. Okay, so God wired us differently. Now listen, women won't understand what we go through. Can I hear it? Amen, men. All right, women won't understand what we go through, but you know what? This is vice versa. We will not be able to understand what women go through. And so, but what if we had some help that was by your side every minute of the day? Anybody remember Batman, his utility belt? I mean, he would pull anything out. Now, this is, guys, teenagers, young people, this is the Batman before you knew Batman, okay? This was before, motion picture Batman. This was TV show Batman. Batman had all kinds of things in his belt, utility belt, for when he needed it the most. When he was in dire need of escape, he was always able to pull out something out of his utility belt. See, fathers, we have an eternal and supernatural resource, Holy Spirit. I don't really need to carry this belt anymore. Matter of fact, I'm going to take it off. So it is a little tight there. So all for the world to see. I should have took it off earlier. All right, so Holy Spirit is like our utility belt. He's better than that, better than Batman's utility belt, because the things that he has, our resources, him, and what he has for us is more than just a bat kerchief or did you see the bat magnet? All it was just a big red magnet with a rope tied around it. But he needed it. He needed it in that moment to help us and to help us develop into becoming the man, the father, the brother that God wants us to be. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It says, if you prize wisdom, the New Living Translation, if you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. Wisdom is being personified here as a person, an actual person. She will honor you, it says. She will present you with a crown. See, seeking for wisdom, desiring wisdom, it's not enough just to desire it and do nothing for it, do nothing to get it. You see, when you find it, you apply it to your life. And when you apply it to your life, then you're able to develop something good. You're able to develop good wisdom, sound judgment. You're able to learn by modeling it. It teaches you how to live by an example that God wants us to live. You see, every believer in Christ needs to understand there is an example that God wants us to live. And a lot of times we stand in the way. We stand in the way of that example because of pride, or because we don't want to, or because, well, I've done that and it got me in trouble, or I've done that and look where it got me. I'm not doing it that way. I'm doing it my way. We have to learn that in order to be the example that God wants us to be, it has to be done His way. His way alone. Wisdom will honor you because you honor wisdom enough to apply it, to walk in it, and live by it. You see, God's word leads us to that wisdom. When building a house, it is wisdom to use the blueprints. In building what God wants to do in us, it is important and vital that we use His blueprints, that we use His strategy, that we use His word. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. I'm just going to read this one verse here because God is warning Eli. And what Eli did that was wrong was that there was a lack of reverence to the duties and instructions that God gave him, not just as a priest, but as a father, because he had two boys that were not doing right things as priests. It was a priestly family. And so in verse 30 of 1 Samuel 2, it says, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." The word esteemed means admired. Those who despise God, He will lightly admire, lightly respect. That's not good. Lightly esteem. But it says here, for those who honor me, I will honor. How do we honor God? By not just knowing His word, not just having a Bible on a bookshelf, but actually reading it, applying it like it was being taught this morning, that we meditate on it. I've always heard that word meditate. It's like what a cow does to the grass that it's chewing on, the cud. It just begins to just chew it up. Now, the disgusting part is he swallows it and then regurgitates it and he chews it again. Yeah, that's pretty nasty. But the concept is very important. He brings it back so that he can continue to chew on it, meditate on it, think about it, ponder it, actually see yourself doing it, applying it, talking to God about it, praying to God about it. I like what Paul said. I think I read this last week, that Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the high calling." I mean, picture yourself doing that. "I press for the mark of the high call of God, which is in Jesus Christ, my Lord. What I've attained here on earth, I count it as rubbish. But God, I want to seek you and know you more." Picture yourself doing that. God, help me to see what that looks like. I mean, if you're going to build something, hopefully you already have a picture of what you're wanting it to look like, so that when you get to it, you're like, yeah, or, ooh, that's upside down. No, but that you've actually done it. That's why there's pictures on all kinds of food items. I mean, really, that Chef Boyardee can of spaghetti doesn't look like that when you pour it in the jar. But doesn't it look, for those of you that eat it, doesn't it look tasty on the can? The cake, like I've said before, I've never made cakes like Duncan Hines, like on that picture. But doesn't the picture actually attract you? Yes. Because some professional did it, and they actually didn't actually use real, you know this? They didn't actually use real food. It's like cardboard, but they spray painted it so that they can actually make it look tasty and tempting. It's what all the commercials do. Causes us to see things that's what I really, oh yeah, that's what I really want. Oh, yeah, that really looks good. But when you actually make it yourself, no, that doesn't look anything like the box. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, listen, him my Father will honor. So my first point is that God is by your side to lead you, to give you wisdom. My second point is that he's by your side to teach you and to guide you. You see, if we serve him, if we apply his word, we honor God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, New King James Version. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Because when you do that, you glorify the Father. You honor the Father. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. The New Living Translation, it says, I will teach you wisdom, says, I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Underline that, key to life. Not keys to life. His wisdom is key to life. That means all of the wisdom that God has, regardless of what need you have, regardless of what decision you need to make, all of it, not some of it, but all of it is the key to life. Imagine if you just had one key to every door that you had to walk in. For some of you, you wouldn't have, you know, one of those things, which is one of the things that, again, like I said, the Lord led me to purchase or I actually asked several of the men, well, which gift would you like to receive for Father's Day? A coffee mug, which was a cool coffee mug, but I thought, how many men are like, yeah, I need another coffee mug, like I need another hole in my head. Or this cool key ring. It's a key holder, but it's a carabiner ring you could put on there and you could put on your belt loop. But how many of you would love to have just one key that opens every door that you have? You wouldn't need this because the key would be in your pocket and it would just be one key, not a big, huge, you know, key ring of about 15 keys. So when I read this, I thought, Lord, it's not just one of your wisdoms, but all of your wisdoms, all of it, your wisdom is the key to life. It's not keys, but it's the key to life. He wants to teach us. He wants to guide us. His straight paths lead to eternal life. As fathers, we have this great responsibility that we can't take for granted. A wife to lead and co-partner with. Children to admonish and to lead by example. What a blessed and honorable position we have as fathers, given to us by the greatest father of them all, our Almighty God. We can't even make up excuses like, well, God, you see the kid you gave me? No, we can't make up any excuses. It's the loving Father who has given us his Son. It's the loving Father who has given us the Holy Spirit, our spiritual utility belt for whatever need, and his wisdom is the key to life. So we have no excuses. We can't pass the buck to somebody else and say, God, you see my neighbor? God would probably respond and say, yeah, he needs Jesus just like you do. So love on him. So we don't have room to make excuses. Our Father sees all that we do and he knows all that we think. Uh-oh. He sees all that we do, but he knows all that we think. You see, we tend to guard things in life more than we do the spiritual things that God has for us, that God provides. Now, I know none of us are perfect. Lord, help me, because I'm not perfect at all either. But just ponder for a moment. Let's just take a few seconds, okay? Ponder for a moment. If someone took something from you, from your house, something materialistic, something out of your garage, something out of your shed, something out of your vehicle, maybe your vehicle, something out of your house, something that you own, something that you treasured. Now consider something that the enemy stole from you that God gave you. Which item would upset you the most? Think about it. Someone came in, took your safe, and all the things and the valuables that are inside of it. But the enemy comes, like I said, to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does a pretty good job at stealing things. But the way I look at it is this. We give the enemy the combination for him to steal the things that he steals. Because he ain't that good. But we help him out in taking and allowing to take things that God gives us. So, what upsets you the most? You see, right here in this moment, honesty is the best thing. To be honest with God, honest with yourself, and say, God, yeah, I think the materialistic thing would upset me the most because, well, my great-great-grandfather's this passed down to, you know, generations, and now it's in my hands, and yeah, that would be very hard. That would be very difficult. I think that would be but Father, forgive me because, you know, it's true. Lord, it's great when we're honest, but it's also even greater when we repent after being honest with God and honest with ourselves. Yes, Father, forgive me. I would be more upset if this item was taken. Lord, forgive me. Help me. Be honest and back it up with repentance so that you can grow, so that you can draw closer to him, so that you can learn and understand that what God has is always better than what you will always have locked up behind some door or hidden somewhere in the attic. You see, I just want to be honest with you. I dislike the way that my old self tries to resurrect itself as if he's in control. I don't like when my old self does that. And I can attest that, yeah, there were some things that I would be upset at. And I just had it, Lord, forgive me. Because really, when I get to heaven, I'm not taking those things with me. But the things that you have for me, Father, those are the things that I ought to strive and be more upset against the enemy that those things were stolen or taken from me because those were the things that you gave me, Father. And those things are eternal. Rust won't get to it. Moths won't get to it. Nobody on this earth will be able to steal it from me because God gave it to me. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, from the verse 19 to verse 21, those are the things that old self loves to just bring back and just resurrect. But what we read in verse 22, those are the things that we begin to develop because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We begin to bear that kind of fruit because we are applying God's word to our lives. We're not just reading it just to read it, but we're reading it so that we can take it in, whether memorizing or meditating on it and applying it to prayer, saying, God, I want to be able to do this, so I need your help. Help me to, Lord, put a cover over my mouth so that I don't say things that I regret, so that I don't say things that where I'm speaking death. I would rather speak life. So my third point is that God is by your side to help you bear spiritual fruit. You see, he's by our side to help us bear spiritual fruit because that is what he desires of us. That's his example for us. He wants us to have that kind of example, people who bear his fruit. Spiritual fruit. We have to come to the knowledge and understanding, ladies and gentlemen, that we have been provided all that we need. All that we need, God has provided it by his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he remains by our side. What a world of difference that makes. Some of us, we can shake our head thinking, how do people in this world do it? Live their life without any hope. Live their life without the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Live a life without understanding and knowing that their eternal destination can be heaven, but rather they choose what's on this earth, and therefore their eternal destination is hell. It's a place that God doesn't want for them, a place God didn't create for them. How can they continue to live life this way? And so this is what makes a world of difference in our lives. Let's go back to Proverbs 4, verses 18. It says, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. Any parent ever walk in the middle of the night and you stumble over some kids' toys? That's exactly what those who are lost end up going through. They're lost. They don't see. They're living in darkness and they're tripping over things in life. Verse 20, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Oh, Lord, may I hide your words in my heart so that I won't sin against you. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. The next time you lose your keys, I hope you don't ever lose your keys, but the next time you lose your keys, just try to remember, Lord, I would really love if all my keys was just on one key. Just like your wisdom is just the key of life, to life. Just like your words are, words that bring life. And Father, I pray that we would really understand what God is saying here. For they bring life to those who find them. Notice it says find them. It doesn't say to those who read them. See, we can read it, but are we finding them? Are we digging in and developing good judgment, good wisdom? Are we learning to apply it instead of just reading it? They bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Listen, Father's job, it isn't easy. And just by my experience so far, I can tell you it isn't easy. Those of you that have been fathers much longer than I have, maybe you would be able to agree with me or maybe shed some light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But this is a heavy weight of responsibility. And we don't carry it ourselves. Joe, can you put the last slide? We don't carry this ourselves. And I want to challenge and encourage the fathers in this room. Quit carrying, trying to be so macho because of what the world gives us a picture of what a macho father or a macho man needs to look like. It's not one of the guys from YMCA. It is a guy who is humble enough to say, Father God, I need your help. And Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, one of the things that I discovered in this verse, Jesus doesn't put us down for being burdened. He understands that we have a responsibility to be Christ followers, to be a representation of God in Christ, to be ambassadors in Christ. That's our responsibility. That's a burden. I mean, we carry that. Jesus says to deny yourself, pick up his cross. He wants us to carry something. But he says, for those of you who are tired and burdened, come to me. You know, one thing as I was praying over this message, I felt that there were two words that just kept popping up. Pride and the inability to show yourself vulnerable. For men, those are two difficult things. Or one is one thing that we have an issue of letting go of. The other one is it is difficult for us to show ourselves vulnerable. Well, I can't do that. That's just, I need to be like the guy who pulls up himself by his own bootstraps. I need to be that kind of guy. You know, that shows signs of weakness. No, it shows signs of wisdom because you know that it's not you. It's God in you, Christ in you, the hope of our glory. So we need to understand, and like I said, this is not just for fathers, but everyone in here, you can have issues of pride or the inability to show yourself as vulnerable because you don't want to show show to others that I want to let people know that I'm weak or that I'm sensitive. No, listen, God knows you. He sees right through you. But when we as men refuse to, if it's not at this altar, it's at the altar at your bedside. It's at the altar in your living room when no one's home. If it is so difficult for you to come to the altar of God because you don't want to be, because, well, there's nothing really wrong with me. I don't really need to ask for prayer because really I'm good. We all need prayer. We all do. The moment we begin to make excuses to get right or to come to God shows that we have some pride, shows that we have the inability to show ourselves vulnerable to the very one who loves us regardless of where we've come from. He loves us regardless of what we've done, and he sees right through you. So really, it's almost like an oxymoron. He already knows how vulnerable and how weak and feeble you are. But yet you try to show yourself as one as, oh, I can't do that. No, God, you can. I also want to encourage with this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? From who? From God. And you are not your, what? You're not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In the King James, it says, flee fornication. The word flee means run away. But it means run away for safety. Not just to run away, but to run away for safety. Then that word fornication, we get a Greek word porneia. It means illicit sexual activity. We're to flee from that. Flee away for safety. Flee away from illicit sexual immorality. You see, the original meaning of the Greek word porneia is to prostitute or to sell oneself. Every sexual sin is repugnant to God. The Greek word here for porneia is a sin that includes a wide range of illicit sexual intercourse or sexual activity. The word can refer to prostitution, sexual intercourse outside of marriage, promiscuity, homosexuality, lesbianism, incest, premarital sex, or bestiality. Disgusting stuff in the eyes of God. Why? Because God had created every person with an example to live by, and therefore that and he's choosing to be by our side to give us wisdom, to teach us and guide us. And to help us to bear the spiritual fruit that we are to build, that we are to bear. God's desire for each of us, men of God included, to honor him with our lives. So that through our lives, we lead by example. Again, I revert to what I read in Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 21 was full of just junk. Junk that we, before Christ came into our lives, that's what we lived for. But verse 22, that's the life that we are ought to be living now. Where we read his word, not just to read it, but to apply it. And that when we do so, we honor him. So God desires that our lives be led by, to lead by example. And to those to whom he has given us responsibility for, they can follow our lead. He desires for each of us to make it. He desires for each of us to finish our race. You know what a coach does in most sports? A coach encourages his team to win, to fight, to play hard, to give it your all, and to win. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, some coaches and my kids, they just have them just to go play. Well, for the most part, most coaches, they encourage their team to win. I encourage you, fathers, as Christian men, to win, to live your life that honors God, to lead your family, to lead your peers to follow Christ because you follow Christ, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me or imitate me as I imitate Christ. I encourage you to be bold as you follow Christ. Bold. But learn to be humble enough that you will be able to call for prayer when you need it. Ask a brother to pray for you. Come to the throne of God and say, God, I need your help. Father, forgive me for having this pride. God, forgive me for because of this pride, I refuse to show myself vulnerable to others that I wouldn't even want to come to the church altar and pray. How foolish is that, God, when I know that I need to get right and I choose not to. You know, when we know what's right and we refuse to do it, Bible says that's sin. I challenge you, man of God, humble yourself enough to call for prayer. Call God for help. Call a brother for help. Remember that God is always by your side. Let's pray. As I pray, I just ask that you be encouraged to ponder your heart in these few moments. Say, Father, what area of my life am I holding pride? And I want to let it go and I just give it to you. I don't want to hold on to pride anymore. And God, help me to show myself vulnerable, especially to my friends, especially to my family, especially to my church family, for those that do care for me, for those that are praying for me. Just take a moment as the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you begin to speak to the hearts of not just the fathers in this room, not just the men in this room, but the women also. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, you reveal to us your truth, Lord, and the truth of this message, that you are by our side always, Father, and that you've provided all that we need so that we can honor you, so that we can be taught and led by you, and so that we can bear the spiritual fruit that you want us to bear.